Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Let me take this opportunity once more to thank you if you took part in our spring fundraising effort when we suspended our typical member drive. Thank you so much. We raised more than $1 million total, which was just wonderful. So thank you. If you were a part of that, I just can't thank you enough for your generosity. But one issue I need to raise with you is that as terrific as that fundraising was, corporate sponsorships and some of our other contributions have fallen off because of COVID-19. That's not surprising when you look at the number of people filing for unemployment insurance and the numbers that come out today. Many of our listeners have been very hard hit financially. Underwriting is down significantly just because of the folks that typically would advertise with us on KPCC. The performances are suspended. The films aren't coming out. All of these kinds of things that typically would provide revenue to us here at KPCC to keep up our staffing. We had a listener who, recognizing all this, stepped up and has issued a dollar-for-dollar challenge, a thank you. It's a dollar-for-dollar match of $25,000. So right now, this is today and today only, if you call 866-888-5722, that's 866-888-5722, you make a contribution in any amount, sustaining or one-time membership, you are going to have that contribution doubled thanks to this listener said, I understand what you're going through. I understand even with the successful member drive, you've been hit hard in these other areas. So we thank that listener for that. And we thank you right now. So in case you missed the spring member drive, please contribute now when your contribution is doubled. And again, if you're suffering financially, you have our sympathies. We have a very good sense of what that kind of challenge is for your household. But if you're someone who your job is intact, your income is intact, and you can help support with others who have had to cut their contribution just because of the financial need, please make that contribution then if you're someone who's whole and can do that. 866-888-5722. And I thank you so much. I deeply appreciate your generosity. Well, one of the very important things in establishing public health models for COVID-19 and what sorts of public health measures to take with the general public is to understand how lethal the virus is. So you need real numbers of actual fatalities, people who've really died of COVID-19 complications. But that is easier said than done. Even with an open country like Italy, it's been very difficult to determine truly how many people have died of COVID-19. Well, into that gap are researchers like UCLA's Lucas Butcher. He's been working with a group of researchers to model fatality rates for COVID-19. Thank you so much, Dr. Butcher, for joining us again on Air Talk. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the possibility to talk about our recent research.
Great. Share with us, first of all, what is the challenge in getting real numbers? I was surprised to learn it's a problem with a country like Italy, because I would assume with their quality of healthcare and their openness, we'd know who's died from the virus. Why is that is a challenge?
Yeah, so let me just first point out that, I'm an applied mathematician and physicist, and this is what I wanted to say beforehand, so I can and your audience some intuition for what we have to be careful with in terms of numbers and testing protocols. But like in general, all these public health issues, policy making would be another point. But I'm glad to talk about like testing and math. And you asked about Italy. So there are many issues, and I see, or what we found at UCLA, so I'm working computational medicine there, is major issues at the moment. And one is like testing, getting reliable numbers. And the second issue is like the math. What do you actually do with these numbers at the end? So it's both things are not so easy. And if I would ask you, so how would you, for example, define or like see mortality of COVID or another infectious disease. So what numbers would you take and how would you define it? So I talked with some colleagues about it, and they usually say something like, okay, we have the number of deaths and we have the number of total cases. This is something that we can easily look up online. And then usually many people would just say we divide these two numbers and then we get a rough estimate of the number of per confirmed cases.
Yeah.
And this is like roughly gives you an idea of how severe a certain disease is.
Seems straightforward, right? Yeah.
Right. And this is something that also WHO officials do. And this is called the case fatality ratio. So many groups, many health officials use this so-called case fatality ratio or CFR. But now your previous guest also talked about SARS in 2003. And we already learned some lessons. So if you look back in the literature from 2004 or 2003 on the last SARS outbreak, you see that the case fatality ratio starts out very low. So you have a like mortality of confirmed cases of around 2%. So this was the initial value that WHO reported in 2003 in the beginning of the SARS outbreak in Hong Kong. Now, if you look at the final numbers that WHO published by the end of June in 2003, you see that the case fatality ratio actually reached values of about 17%, so much higher. And this is something that we also observe right now. So this ratio is typically increasing over time.
Okay.
Also, now we have numbers for all these different countries, Italy, US, Germany, UK, China, and we see the exactly same pattern.
But is the problem on the total number of cases end of this in understanding accurately how many people have COVID-19, or is it on the other end, accurately determining what someone died of? If you've got cofactors, do you attribute it to COVID-19, or you attribute it to a heart attack, or you attribute it to complications of diabetes? What is that also part of the problem?
This is like the second big issue we see. Like, one thing is really to do the math properly as far as you can do that. I mean, it's also difficult. And the second part that you described, testing and getting reliable numbers. But the problem, like with the CFR, is a very fundamental one. So it has nothing, like one problem that I described, like this increasing nature of the case fatality ratio, is not a problem of testing, it's just a problem of the definition. And you can easily imagine what happened. So we are now always talking about the rapid increase of cases during the initial onset of an epidemic. So many, many people get infected. You have this exponential growth regime, and now we're all talking about flattening the curve. That's because, like, initially these epidemics tend to grow very rapidly. Now, the problem is if you just divide the number of deaths by the total number of cases, you have a very large number of new infections every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the number of deaths or the number of recovered patients take a while to really recover or really die. So
yeah,
it takes
so
about 2 weeks,
two,
or maybe 3 weeks.
Because of the time lag, you're looking at different numbers and not getting an accurate comparison. So what if you were, and I think if I understand correctly, it's one of the things you're looking at doing, that you take a cohort of people infected at around the same time, and then you track them for 30 days. That would give you think, a more accurate result?
Yeah, so this is something we propose. There are different ways of improving, like, the standard case fatality. One improvement would be, as you described, to take cohorts. And I talked to some colleagues in Brazil. They have some experience with cohort tracking because of Zika, chikungunya, and like many of these tropical diseases. So they're more experienced with that. And what they're trying to do, and I hope that also, so the numbers are basically available. So we know when patient A or 1 gets infected, and we also know when this patient recovered. The problem is the numbers that we receive from, like the accumulated numbers that we receive from health officials or from Johns Hopkins, for example, they're just population level numbers without any IDs, like patient IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you can't track them.
Exactly. And at the moment, we cannot really track them. But in principle, we can control one cohort, and we don't have any additional patients entering this cohort and like confounding our mortality estimate.
Right. I need to wrap, but I want to thank you, sir, for being with us. That's UCLA research scientist Lucas Butcher joining us. He and a group of researchers are looking at different models to more accurately determine the fatality rates of COVID-19. But you hear, even with those alternative models, there are challenges when you're trying to get more specific information about who has been exposed to the virus. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, the folks at Common Sense Media have surveyed American teens to determine how they're feeling about the stressors and changes in their lives that have been wrought by COVID-19. We'll talk about their relationships with their peers, with their family members, and how often they're going to school online. We'll be back with more on Air Talk in just 90 seconds.